WETL radio players present their version of Noel Coward's tragicomedy, Fumed Oak. We begin in the sitting room of the Gow's South London home. The year is 1935, and all seems well. As our radio curtain rises, we find Mrs. Rocket seated in the big armchair by the fireplace. A well-filled workbasket rests in her lap. Over in a corner, Doris, her daughter, is seated at the dining room table, reading a newspaper propped up against a cruet. Elsie, a teenager, is cutting her breakfast toast into strips and dipping them into her boiled egg. Elsie speaks.
Mom?
What is it now, Elsie?
When can I put my hair up?
When you're old enough. Eat your bacon.
Gladys Pierce is the same age as me, and she's got hers up.
Never you mind about Gladys Pierce. Get on with your breakfast.
Well, I don't see why I can't have it cut. That would be better than nothing. Maisie Blake had her hair cut just like week, and it looks lovely.
Never you mind about Maisie Blake, neither. She's common.
Well, Miss Pritchard don't think so. Miss Pritchard liked Maisie Blake a lot. She said it looked ever so nice.
What?
Her hair, Mother.
Get on with your breakfast. You'll be late.
Oh, Mum.
For heaven's sake, Elsie, stop sniffling. Sniffle, sniffle, sniffle. Haven't you got a handkerchief?
Yes, but it's a clean one.
Never mind. Use it.
If you don't mind my saying so, the child can't help having a cold.
She can blow her nose, can't she, Mother? Even if she has got a cold.
Daddy Watson's got a terrible cold. She's told everybody she's had enough of it.
Enough of what?
A cold.
I didn't sleep a wink last night. I just tossed and turned. It seemed that everything was coming alive. There were all kinds of sounds and creakings that kept me awake all last night.
I'm sorry, I'm sure.
I wasn't blaming you, Doris.
The night before last, it was the hot water pipes.
You really should see to them, dear.
You know as well as I do, you can't stop them making that noise every now and then.
I'm sure I don't know why you don't get a plumber in.
Because I don't consider it necessary.
You would if you slept in my room. Gurgle, gurgle, gurgle all night long. It's all very fine for you and Henry. You're at the far end of the hallway.
You don't have to sleep there, Mother.
And just what did you mean by that?
You know perfectly well what I mean.
You listen to me, Doris Gow. I've got a perfect right to complain if I want to. And, well, you know it. It isn't as if I was staying here for nothing.
Oh, Mother, I really don't know what's the matter with you lately. You do nothing but grumble.
Me? Grumble? I like that. That's rich, that is.
Well, you do. It gives me a headache.
You ought to do something about those headaches of yours. They seem to pop off and on at the least little thing.
And I wish you wouldn't keep passing remarks about not staying here for nothing.
Well, it's true. I don't.
Anyone would think we were taking advantage of you.
Well, they wouldn't be far from wrong.
Mother, how can you? You're not paying a shilling more than you can afford.
I never said I was. It isn't the money, it's the lack of consideration.
Pity you don't go and live with Nora for a change.
Nora hasn't got a spare room.
Phyllis has, a lovely one looking out over the railway. I'm sure her hot water pipes won't annoy you. There isn't hot water in them. Pass the marmalade.
Of course, if I'm not wanted here, I can always go to a boarding house or a private hotel.
Get you.
As you know, Doris, I'm not the sort to outstay my welcome anywhere.
Oh, for heaven's sake, don't start that again.
It seems as though some of us had got up on the wrong side of the bed this morning.
Mom, can I have some more toast?
No.
I could make it myself over the kitchen fire.
No, I tell you. Can't you understand plain English? You've had quite enough to eat, and you'll be late for school.
Never mind, Elsie. Here's some money. You can buy yourself a sponge cake at Barrett's.
Thanks, Grandmother.
You'll do no such thing, Elsie. I'm not going to have a child of mine stuffing herself with cake in the middle of High Street.
Don't eat it on High Street. Eat it in the shop, dear.
Go on, Elsie, or you'll be late.
Oh, Mom, it's half past.
Do as I tell you.
Oh, all right. Excuse me.
Poor little soul.
I'll trouble you not to spoil Elsie, Mother.
Spoil her? Well, I like that. Better than half starving her, I'd say.
Mother, are you insinuating?
I'm not insinuating anything. Elsie's getting to be a big girl. She had one little bit of toast and bacon for her breakfast, and she used that for her egg. I saw her.
It's none of your business. And in the future, I'd be much obliged if you'd keep your money to yourself.
Very well. Of course, if I'm to be abused every time I try to bring a little happiness into the child's life.
Anyone would think I ill-treated her the way you talk.
You certainly nag her enough.
I don't do any such thing, and you know it, Mother. After all, she's my little girl, and I've got a right...
Now, there's no need to lose your temper.
I'm not losing my temper.
If I'd known when you were Elsie's age what you were going to turn out like, well, I'd have given you what for, I can tell you.
Pity you didn't, I'm sure.
One thing I never deprived my children.
I wish you'd leave me to bring up my own child in my own way.
Well, take Elsie's cold for one thing. That cold's been hanging over her for weeks. A fat lot. You care about it.
I've dosed her for it, haven't I? The whole house stinks of Vapex. What more can I do?
She ought to have had Dr. Bristow last Saturday when it was so bad. He'd have cleared it up in no time.
You and your Dr. Bristow.
Nice thing if that cold had turned into bronchitis. Mrs. Henderson's Muriel got bronchitis all through neglecting a cold. The poor child couldn't breathe. They had to have two kettles of boiling water going day and night.
I suppose your precious Dr. Bristow told you that.
Yes, he did. And what's more, he saved the girl's life. You just ask Mrs. Henderson.
Catch me asking Mrs. Henderson anything. Not likely. Stuck-up thing.
Mrs. Henderson's a very nice, lady-like woman, if you ask me. Just because she's quiet and a bit reserved, you say she's stuck up. Just shows how much you know about things.
Who does she think she is anyway? Lady Mountbatten?
Really, Doris, you make me tired sometimes. You really do.
If you're so fond of Mrs. Henderson, it's a pity you don't see more of her. I notice you don't go over there often.
I go when I'm invited.
Exactly.
Mrs. Henderson's not the kind of woman that likes people dropping in and out all the time. We can't all be Amy Fawcett.
And just what's the matter with Amy Fawcett, pray tell?
Well, she's common, for one thing. She dyes her hair, for another. And she's a bit too free and easy all round, for my taste.
Well, she doesn't put on airs.
Well, I should think not, after the sort of life she's led.
And just how do you know what sort of a life she's led?
Everybody knows. Only have to look at her. I'm a woman of the world, I am. You can't pull the wool over my eyes.
Hush now. Here comes Elsie back into the room. Don't untidy everything like that, Elsie. Whatever are you looking for?
Pixie Parade. I had it just last night.
If it's the one with the blue cover, it's like all the rest of your sheet music. It's in the bottom of the piano bench.
It isn't there. Oh, dear. Miss Pritchard will be mad at me if I can't find it.
Perhaps you put it in your satchel. Here, let me have a look. Here. Is this it?
Oh, yes. Thanks, Grandmother.
Go along now, for heaven's sake. You'll be late.
Oh, all right, Mum. Goodbye, Mum. Goodbye, Grandmother.
Goodbye, dear. Give Grandmother a kiss. There, that's a good girl.
Hurry up and don't dawdle on the way home.
Oh, all right, Mum. Goodbye.
There now. She gets slower and slower every day.
If you're going down to the shops this morning, would it be troubling you too much to get me a reel of white cotton?
I thought you were coming with me.
I really don't feel up to it just now. You will get the cotton, won't you?
I'll put it on my list.
If it's out of your way, please don't trouble yourself. It'll do till another time. Oh, hello, Henry.
Henry, it's about time you're coming down. It's past 9.
I know it.
How do you know it? What were you doing upstairs? You'd better hurry, you'll be late.
Never mind.
Never mind, he says. That's a nice way to talk, I say.
Well, I'm sure if my Robert had ever lazed about like that in the mornings, I'd have thought the world had come to an end for sure.
Henry'll do it once too often, mark my words.
What are you two talking about?
About you, that's who.
I guess I can take a hint.
Henry, where do you think you're going now?
In the other room where I can read. I'll leave you two alone with your thoughts.
What's the matter with him?
Don't ask me. I'm sure I couldn't tell you.
He came in very late last night. I heard him go into the bathroom. That door makes a terrible noise.
Does it indeed?
Yes, it does.
I'm very sorry. I shall have to have it oiled.
Oh, well, you needn't bother. Where do you think he'd been?
How do I know?
Didn't you ask him?
I wouldn't lower myself.
Probably out carousing around, I suppose.
No.
Sounded very like it to me, with all that banging round.
You know Henry doesn't carouse around.
Well, I know he says he doesn't.
Oh, do shut up, Mother. We're not all like Father.
You just watch your tongue, Doris Gow. Don't you let me hear you saying anything against the memory of your poor father.
I wasn't.
Oh, yes, you were. You were insinuating again.
Father drank, and you know it. In fact, everybody knew it.
You're a wicked woman.
It's true, he did drink.
Your father was a gentleman, which is more than your good-for-nothing Henry will ever be, with all his night classes and book-reading and late hours. Night classes, indeed.
Just who's insinuating now?
I am, and I'm not afraid to say so.
What of it?
I suppose he was at a night class last night.
You just mind your own business.
I can't take much more of this. I'm going to my room.
Sleep tight, Mother dear.
As our second act radio curtain opens, it's about 7:30 in the evening. Elsie is seated at the piano, practicing her latest lesson piece. Mrs. Rocket is sitting in a chair by the fire, but now she is dressed in her street clothes and wearing a black hat with a veil. Doris, also dressed in street clothes, is clearing some paper dress patterns and pieces of cloth material from the table.
Can I go now, Mother?
In a minute.
Well, Miss Mickey Mouse called him.
Put on your hat and don't worry.
Oh, all right.
That's better. Oh, look, here comes your father. Hello, Henry, dear. Your supper's all ready. The kettle's on the gas stove. When do you want it? We've already had ours.
No.
And you needn't look injured, either.
Very well.
If you managed to get home a bit earlier, Henry, I would have had your supper hot. It would save a lot of trouble all around.
I'm sorry, dear.
It's all very fine to be sorry. You've been getting later and later these last few weeks. They can't keep you overtime every night.
All right, dear. I'll tell them.
Here, Elsie, put these pieces of cloth away in the cupboard. I think I've sewn enough for one evening.
Oh, all right.
And don't be all day. Your supper's getting cold.
Okay.
Goodness, Henry. Sometimes I don't know what gets into her.
I put them on the shelf next to Grandmother's things. What's that? Cold ham. What a surprise.
What's the matter with it?
Yes, Elsie, what's the matter with cold ham? It looks good anyway.
What's the matter with it, Henry?
I don't know yet.
It's perfectly fresh, if that's what you mean.
Elsie, why are you all so dressed up?
Trying to change the subject.
We're going to the moving pictures, Papa.
Oh, I see.
You can put everything on the tray when you're finished and leave it in the kitchen for Ethel.
Good old Ethel.
What?
I just said good old Ethel, that's all.
Well, it sounded very silly if you ask me.
I hate to interrupt this wonderful family gathering, but I can't help wondering, what's the matter with him?
Henry, nothing's the matter.
That's right, nothing's the matter, Mother.
Don't call me Mother. You look funny, Henry.
I feel funny.
Have you been drinking?
Yes.
Well...
Henry, how could you?
I knew it. I could smell liquor a mile away.
I had a little drink in town and another one at the pub down the street.
What for?
Because I just felt like it.
Oh, Henry, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
I should think so.
Maybe, but I'll tell you something. I'm going to have another one, too, a bit later.
You'll do no such thing, Henry Gow.
My word.
I am. By the way, Doris, dear, that hat you're wearing looks awful.
Now, you listen to me. The next time I catch you drinking and coming home here and insulting me, I'll...
What will you do, Dory?
I'll give you a piece of my mind, that's what I'll do.
It'll have to be a very little piece, Dory. You can't afford much.
I'd be very much obliged if you'd kindly tell me just what all of this means.
I'm celebrating.
What do you mean, celebrating? What are you talking about?
Oh, my dear Dory, don't you know? Tonight's our anniversary.
Whatever are you saying? You know very well our anniversary is not until November.
I don't mean that one. I mean the anniversary of the first time you and I agreed to get married. Then I got a good look at your mother.
Henry!
Hooray!
Well, I never.
How dare you say such a dreadful thing in front of Elsie?
Considering you had your grandmother's inheritance, Elsie, I'm surprised you're not a nicer little girl than you are.
Elsie, go upstairs.
Stay here, Elsie.
Don't argue. Do as I say.
Mom?
Mother, for heaven's sake, take her. There's going to be a row.
Leave Elsie alone and sit down. Sit down, all of you.
The very idea.
See, it works like a charm.
Fine exhibition you're making of yourself, I must say.
Not bad, is it? As a matter of fact, I'm rather pleased with it myself.
Go to bed.
Stop ordering me about. What right have you got to nag at me and boss me? No right at all. I'm the one that pays the rent and works for you and keeps you. What do you give me in return, I'd like to know? Nothing. I sit through breakfast while you and your mother wrangle. You're too busy being snappy and bad-tempered even to say good morning when I come downstairs. I come home tired after working all day, and 10 to 1 there's no hot dinner for me. Here I sit. See this cold ham? Here's what I think of your cold dinner.
Henry, all over the carpet.
And that's what I think of the carpet. Now then.
That I should live to see this. That I should live to see the man I married make such a beast of himself.
Oh, stop working yourself up into a state. You'll need all your control when you've heard what I'm going to say to you.
Look here.
Sit down. You too, Mother. I'm afraid you'll have to miss the moving pictures for once.
Elsie, you come with me.
Yes, go with your mother, Ducks.
Like heck you'll go. Now then, sit down!
Well, I never!
Henry,
I've been dreaming of this moment for many years. And believe me, it's not going to be spoiled for me by you running away.
Henry!
Let me out of this room.
You all stay here until I've had my say.
Oh!
Here, you girl, stop your sniveling. Go and get the bottle of port out of the sideboard and give some to your mother. Go on, do as I tell you.
You drunken brute.
Oh, worse than that, mother dear. Far worse. Just you wait and see.
You'd better take some of this port, Doris. It'll do you some good, under the circumstances.
I don't want any. It'll make me choke.
Just a little, my dear.
You keep away from me, do you hear?
Drink it and stop that sniveling.
I'll never forgive you for this, Henry Gow. Never, 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 as long as I live.
Pay no attention to him, Doris. He's drunk. He doesn't know what he's saying. Here, drink this.
Oh, all right.
I'm not drunk. I've only had a little nip here and there, just enough to give me guts to make the first plunge. You'd never believe how scared I was, thinking it over in cold blood.
Henry,
of all the...
I'm not scared anymore, though. It's much easier than I thought it was going to be. My only regret is that I didn't come to a boil a long time ago and tell you to your face, Dory, just what I think of you. What I've been thinking of you and this horrid little kid and that old witch of a mother of yours.
Henry Gow.
You heard me. Old witch was what I said and old witch was what I meant.
Let me out of this room this instant. I'm not going to stay here and be insulted.
You're going to stay here just as long as I want you to.
Oh, I am I? Well, we'll just see about
that. No, you don't.
Go and my arm, Henry Gow. Stop it! You!
Oh, Mother, don't let all the neighbors know. Not so loud.
Help! Help! Police! Mrs. Addison! Help!
You get away from that window!
Help! Police! What? You struck me!
Good heavens!
How dare you!
Oh, Mom, Papa struck Grandmother.
Oh, my heart. I think I'm going to faint. Oh, my heart. Quick, the smelling salts.
Don't worry. I'll bring you around if you faint.
Don't you dare touch me. Oh, dear.
Oh, no. Mother's fainted.
Stay right where you are. I'll give her some water.
Henry, what are you going to do with that pitcher of water?
Stand out of the way, Dory. We don't all want to get drowned.
Henry, no, not all of it.
Where am I?
Number 17 Cranworth Road, South London.
Oh dear. Just look at me. I'm drenched. My clothes ruined.
Look here, Mother. I don't want there to be any misunderstanding about all this. I liked slapping you just now, see?
You brute!
It was lovely. Simply lovely. And if you don't behave yourself and keep quiet, I shall have to slap you again. Go and sit in your armchair and remember, if you ever feel faint again, the pitcher of water's all ready.
Henry, how could you?
And as for you, my dear, sit down.
Mommy.
And keep Elsie quiet or I'll fetch her one, too.
Come here, Elsie. Shut up, will you?
Yes, Papa.
Come, sit here at the table with me, Elsie. Now then, I'm going to start quite quietly. Explaining a few things to all of you.
Enjoying yourself, aren't you?
You said it.
You'll be grinning on the other side of your face before I'm done with you.
Very likely, Dory. Very likely indeed.
And don't you Dory me either. Coming home here drunk, hitting poor Mother and frightening Elsie out of her wits.
Maybe it'll do her good. Do them both good. A little excitement in the home. Heaven knows it's a dull enough place as a rule.
Very clever. Oh, very clever, I'm sure.
16 years ago tonight, Dory, you and me were left alone in your Aunt Daisy's house in Stansfield's Road. Do you remember?
Henry.
We had the whole house to ourselves, it being a Sunday and all.
This is disgusting. I won't listen to another word.
Pay no attention, Mother. He's gone mad.
Let me see now. Where was I? Oh, yes, Stansfield Road. You had been after me a long while, Dory. I didn't know it then, but I realized it soon after. You had to have a husband, what with Nora married and Phyllis engaged, both of them younger than you.
I won't stand for it. I won't.
Henry, why do you act like this? I've given you the best years of my life. life, and don't you forget it.
You've never given me the best of anything.
It's not true. Stop up your ears, Elsie. Don't listen to him.
What happened at your Aunt Daisy's house is all true, and you know it as well as I do.
I never should have married you.
Oh, come off it, Dory. Don't talk so silly.
Well, it's true. I was a fool to ever marry you.
You've been cheating me, Dory, for a long, long time. And when I found out and realized it for certain, I had started cheating you, too.
Henry, what on earth are you talking about?
Prepare yourself, Dory, my girl. You're going to be really upset this time. I've been earning a little bit more than you thought I was. I've been saving. Every week for over 10 years, I've managed by hook and by crook to put £572 away for safekeeping. Do you hear me? £572.
Henry, you never have. It's not true.
You couldn't have, Henry. You'd have given it away. I should have found out.
I thought that it'd rouse you. But don't get excited. Don't get worked up. I haven't got all that money on me. It's safe in the bank.
Thank heaven.
Oh, it's not for you. It's all for me. All but £50. That much is for you. Just £50. The last you'll ever get from me.
Henry, you couldn't be so cruel. You couldn't be so mean.
I've done what I think's fair. And what I think's fair is a sight more than you deserve. I've transferred the freehold of this house into your name, so you'll always have a roof over your head. You can take in lodgers if you get in a pinch, though heaven help them if you ever do.
£572. You've got all that, and you're going to leave me to starve?
Henry, how could you?
Oh, cut out the drama, both of you. Have a look at your savings bank book, Mother.
Well, I've never heard of such a thing.
Oh, yes, you have. You've got enough money stashed away to keep you in comfort till the day you die. You soaked your old man plenty before he took to getting soaked himself.
It's a lie. You can't prove a thing.
Now, listen to me, Mother McCree. You've had one sock in the jaw this evening, and you're not just asking for another, are you?
I'll have you up for assault. I'll have the police on you, my fine fellow.
The police? They'll have to be pretty nippy. My boat sails first thing in the morning.
Boat? Henry, what in heaven's name are you talking about?
I'm going away. It's as simple as that. I've got my ticket right here in my pocket and my passport, too. My passport's got a real nice photo of me on it. I wish I could show it to you, but I don't want you to see the nice new name I've got.
New name? You can't do it. I can have you stopped by the law. It's desertion.
That's right, Dory. You said it. Desertion's just exactly what it is.
Where are you going? You've got to tell me.
Wouldn't you just like to know? Maybe Africa. Maybe China. Maybe Australia. There are lots of places in this whole world you know nothing about, Dory, my dear.
Henry, you can't mean it.
You've often laughed at me for reading books, but I found out a lot from books. Think of it. Miles and miles of open country, stretching as far as the eye can see. Good food and fresh air. Oh, that might be very nice. That might just suit me to a T.
I've never heard of such a thing.
Perhaps I'll go to South America, yes. There are coffee plantations there and sugar plantations and banana plantations, yes. That's it. If I go to South America, I'll send you a whole crate of bananas. Have a banana, Dory. Have a banana.
Henry Gow, you listen to me. You can't do this dreadful thing. You can't. If you don't love me anymore, think of Elsie.
Just think. All those miles and miles of strange, wonderful places.
God will punish you. You just see if he doesn't. You just see.
God's been punishing me for 15 years. It's high time he laid off me now.
Henry, have pity. Please don't be so cruel. Please, please.
And you're wasting your time weeping and wailing. That won't cut any ice with me. It's too late for that now. I know what you're like. I know you through and through.
Henry, don't.
You're frightened now, scared out of your wits. But give you half a chance, and you'd be worse than ever you were. You're a bad lot, Dory. Not what the world would call a bad lot, but what I call a bad lot. Mean and cold and respectable. Goodbye, Dory.
Listen to me, Henry. You've got to listen. You must. You can't leave us to starve. You can't throw us out onto the streets. If I've been a bad wife to you, I'm sorry. I'll try to do better. Really, I will. I swear to God I will. Oh, you can't do this. If you won't forgive me, think of Elsie. Think of poor little Elsie.
Poor little Elsie, my eye. I think Elsie's awful. I always have, ever since she was little. She's never done anything but whine and snivel and try to get something for nothing.
Oh, Mom, Did you hear what he said? Oh, Papa, dear.
Dear, don't listen to him.
Elsie can go to work in a year or so. In the meantime, Dora, you can go to work yourself. You're quite a young woman still and strong as an ox. Here's your £50.
Henry, don't go. Please don't go.
Let go of me. I'm taking my last look at you, Dory. I shall never see you again as long as I live.
Oh, Henry, stay. Please stay.
Look at you, Mother. Why, you're nothing but a music hall joke. A mother-in-law with a bit of money put away, nothing more.
Henry, no!
Dory, the next few years will show whether you've got guts or not. Maybe this will save your immortal soul. I doubt it, though. Your immortal soul's too measly. You're a natural bully and a cheat, and I'm sick of the sight of you.
Oh, Henry!
And as for you, Elsie, you've got a chance. It's a slim one, I admit, but it's still a chance. If you learn to work and be independent, there's just a bit of hope that you'll turn into a decent human being after all.
Oh, Papa, Papa.
Well, goodbye, one and all. Nice to have known you.
And so ends Noel Coward's famous play, Fumed Oak. Heard on today's broadcast were
Marianne Moran as Doris,
Carol McDaniel as Mrs. Rocket,
Laura Moran as Elsie,
and John H. Bickhouse as Henry.
Fumed Oak was a presentation of the WETL Radio Players of the South Bend Community School Corporation and was written and produced for radio by Jerry Limbert. This is your announcer, Stan Hernandez, speaking.